And if you're sitting here thinking, I'll answer by making a certain assumption. But if you're sitting here and you think that the end game of discipleship is that you get eternal life, you missed it. Because if the end game, Crystal, of discipleship is that you get eternal life, then as soon as you get discipled, you should die. Ain't nothing else to do. If you really believe that the end game of discipleship is just to get eternal life, then as soon as we are qualified disciples, we can go ahead and die. And the reason we are not dying is because that's not the end game of discipleship. The true end game of discipleship is to follow Christ. See how quiet everybody is? Because being a disciple does not mean you got to be in the choir. Doesn't mean you're going to preach. It doesn't mean you're going to play instruments. But because anybody can do that. And one of the dynamics that causes such dysfunction in the church is that there are a whole lot of undiscipled people serving in the church. And part of it is because we didn't have nobody else that would do it. We began to go from the whosoever's to anybody can do it. Man, I just get somebody. But Jesus says, follow me. There's an old song we used to sing back home that says, come and go with me to my Father's house. And the reality for us is that in order for us to get on the path, we've got to know who is on the path. And whose path we getting on. There's a lady that lived down the street from me when I was a child. Her name was Miss Marjorie Brown. Your name Brown. She might be some kin to you. Miss Margie, you know, we used to call her Miss Margie. Miss Margie had signs in her yard that says, no trespassing. Keep off the grass. And if you, while we were playing in the street wasn't so wide. If the ball went in Miss Margie's yard, you can forget that. Miss Margie would sit outside while we were playing, just hoping that the ball would come in her yard. I really believe that's why Miss Margie came outside. Just to get, and if the ball went in her yard, she'd look at you and say, I dare you. You come get it. You're like, no. And she didn't want folk in her yard. Stay out of here. Don't come over here. But that's not what God is saying.
Yes, yes.
You got to know that the ball could go in Miss Daniel's yard and you can get the ball back.
Come on now.
You can go in Miss Daniel's yard. She was a nice lady, smile at you. Say, hey, baby, how you? Come on, get your ball. Not Miss Margie. You got to know whose path you on. You got to know that everybody ain't welcoming you.
Well,
but the Lord is saying, come on, go with me. Come on, follow me. It is safe here. It's good here. And it's going to end up in a good place.
Yes.
Anybody ever got lost? Took a wrong turn. Got confused. But the Lord said, you come with me. You won't get lost. You won't get confused. And I've got a destination for you. So what are you saying, Pastor, in the last couple of minutes you've got? Well, let me tell you, one of the reasons you need to get on this path is because this highway ends in heaven.
Yes.
I asked you a little while ago if that was really your end game. Well, what I will tell you now, if you really want to go to heaven, you got to get on this path. Amen. There's an old saying that all roads lead to Rome. That's an old antiquated saying. But the reality is they said that because Rome was supposed to be such a large place, such a mass place that there was a mindset that no matter where you went, inevitably you would end up in Rome. Yeah. All roads lead to Rome.
Yeah.
Well, not all roads are going to lead to heaven.
Come on now.
Not. Some folk gonna leave church and go to hell.
That's it.
Some folk gonna leave choir rehearsal and go to hell.
Well,
Some folk gonna leave a pastor's meeting, a deacon's meeting, because all roads don't lead to heaven. Isaiah calls it a highway of holiness. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned last week, and I'll bid you farewell, is that when Solomon talks about this gateway of life, he said that the reason so many people got on it, Brother Aaron, is because they believed that it was the right path.
All right.
There was a way that seemeth right, and folk got on it, and some of us are going to miss heaven because we're following the crowd.
Well.
Following the crowd. You looking at brother so-and-so, and you have deemed and determined that their life must be the right life, and you're following them, and you're going where they're going, and you're doing what they're doing. But Jesus didn't say follow Deacon Davis. Jesus didn't say follow Pastor Mitchell. Jesus didn't say follow Louise. Jesus said, come and follow me. Y'all didn't feel that. Yeah, you got to follow Christ. And what I will tell you is that when you follow Christ, you're going to lose some people.
Yes, sir.
You're going to look around and there will be a thinning of the herd, because not everybody in the church is following Christ. Not everybody in your choir is following Christ. Not everybody in the backpack brigade is following Christ. You got to learn how to stay with the Lord.
Say that, Pastor.
Song doesn't sing hold to Blair's unchanging hand. The song doesn't say hold to Wanda's unchanging hand. The song says hold
to God.
Y'all, now you're feeling it. You know, if you help me, y'all can be gone in 2 more minutes. You got to hold. Don't help them that much. We ain't ready for that part. May not get there today. But you gotta know that God is the beacon light.
Yes, sir. Yes, he is.
God is the gateway. God is the answer to all of your trials and tribulation. But you got to hold to God's unchanging hand and walk with him. That's what Mama said. He walks with me and talks with me along this narrow way. I told you, wide is the road.
Yes, sir.
But it doesn't lead anywhere.
Well,
Jesus said you got to come through the narrow gate. Uh-huh. Amen. Anybody ever going through a narrow gate?
Yeah.
Narrow gate. You gotta understand that some of the ways we're going are gonna cause us to end up in hell.
Come on, Pastor.
Not only are we following the wrong folk, but our faithfulness is fleeting. Because we follow God in opportune times.
Well,
when we got that job and when we got that money and things going well, we with the Lord. Be in the Lord. But when our faith is tested, James says, what good is faith?
Well,
if you can't test it. What good is it? And he said, know this, that the trying of your faith. Boy, I wish y'all would help me. Look at the name and say, it's got to be tested.
Got to be tested.
Yeah. God got to prove us. And you know what? He's not proving us to him.
Yeah.
He's proving us to us.
Yeah.
How many of you ever found out a little something about yourself because of a test, because of a trial, a tribulation, and realized that you wasn't all you thought you were?
Say that, Pastor.
That's why the disciples looked at him and said, Lord, help our unfaithfulness.
Yeah.
Help what we don't believe. We're going to understand that we're following the wrong folk and our faith can be fleeting. But also, watch this now, we are frauds by choice.
Come on now.
We choose to be phony. Here's why. Because you were made in the image and likeness of God. You were created to be like God. You were created to do things like God.
Well,
and we just choose to say, nah.
Well,
not going to do that. But there's a standard of God. He said, these are my sheep. They know me. They know who I am and what I do.
Yeah.
And they do it with me. That's why we can testify that we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Yes, sir.
That's why we can say to our neighbors, you may not understand why I'm committed like this. You may not understand my courage. You may not understand my confidence in Christ. That's what Paul said. Paul said, you must have no confidence in your flesh.
Well,
Can I get some witnesses that would testify that sometimes your flesh done let you down?
Come on now.
Sometimes your flesh done jack you up. But Paul said, I have no confidence in my flesh. He said, I'm dependent on the Lord. I'm counting on God because God can be counted on. And so Jesus says to us, he said, listen, come on. You got to come this way and you got to start so you can finish.
Yes.
Got to start. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to start.
Got to start.
So you can finish.
So you can finish.
Bible said that the Lord comes along and there are those, he gives the story, Brother Blair, of a day when he comes and there are men just standing around.
Come on now.
Ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. And the Lord hires them. He said the hiring takes place. Some went to work early in the morning and some went late in the afternoon. And at the end of the day, he settled up with them at his pleasure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying some of y'all been running a long time. Some of y'all just started running. But reward is in his hand.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Amen. God knows how to settle up with us.
Yes.
And if you get on this path, you can finish with a flurry.
Yes.
Here it is. Jude said, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling.
Yes.
Look at your neighbor and say, I fell sometimes.
I fell sometimes.
But he picked me up.
But he picked me up. Yes, sir.
Y'all ain't
yes,
talking sir. To me. I struggled yes, sometimes, but he picked me up.
Yes, sir.
I didn't always get it right, but he picked me up.
Yes, sir.
I made some mistakes in life, but he picked me up.
Yes.
I was my own worst enemy, but he picked me up.
Yes.
I drank too much. I smoked too much. I hung out too late.
Sir.
But now unto him who is able
yes, sir.
To keep me from falling. Look at another name and say, he's a keeper. Yeah, he put his arms around me,
yeah.
Picked me up and told me to run on. He lifted me up out of the muck and the mire. He put my feet on a rock called solid because
yeah.
It's now unto him.
Yeah.
I will bless him now. I'll praise him now. I'll tell him thank you now because I started out a long time ago and there is no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
I decide
yes.
To make Jesus,
uh-huh.
Watch this now. Brother Aaron, I like you. I think you're a nice fella, but he didn't say, I decided to make Brookville my choice.
Well.
He didn't say, I decided to make Scott Zion my choice.
Well,
I didn't decide to make whatever church my choice. I decided, watch this, Audrey, to make Jesus my choice. look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if I can ask you something, he'll let us go. But can you ask him, say, what's your choice?
Jesus. Ask me again, Pastor.
Huh. See how they stopped talking to you?
Huh.
That's how they ain't been talking to me.
I
decided to make Jesus my choice. That's why when the choir ain't singing right, I'm still coming.
Well.
When the trustees ain't trustworthy, I'm still coming.
Well.
When the deacons ain't on duty, I'm still coming. When the preacher preached more than he should, I'm still coming. Because I didn't make the trustee my choice.
Yeah.
I didn't make the choir my choice. I didn't make ushering my choice. I didn't make the pastor my choice. I made Jesus my choice.
Yeah.
And I started out a long time ago.
Come on now.
But there is no doubt.
Uh-huh.
No doubt. That I picked the right one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Jess Ray Charles said it like this. You got the right one, baby.
That's right.
Uh-huh. I decided.
Yeah.
My summary argument is this, Larry, and we'll let them go. That when you choose,
mm-hmm.
Don't change. There it is. When you choose this time, don't change.
That's right.
Don't get distracted. Don't take the detour. Don't keep making delays.
Well.
Those are my three sub-points I was going to use, but we out of time. But you got to understand now that it's your determination. It's your devotion because it was your decision.
Well.
Don't let nobody get in your head and your heart. Don't let nobody make you think that you're in the wrong place when you know you're with the right Christ. Because if you're with the right Christ, you can never be in the wrong place.
Yeah, Pastor. That's right.
People ask you, why you go thus and thus? I'm with Christ.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily with them. I'm with Christ.
Yeah.
And here's what Jesus said. You will be able to identify the right themness because they're doing what we's doing.
That's right.
Everybody in this room, you got to get on that path.
Yeah.
You're going to have to decide now to move if you got to move.
Yeah.
And then you have to decide to stay
if
you're in the right place to stay. But just coming to church ain't going to do it.
Right.
Just sitting here clapping your hands and an occasional nod of your head ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
Before you can stay on the path, you got to start on the path.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said this, Melba, I am the way.
Yeah.
The truth and the life. Nobody's going to get to my daddy except through me. Don't get distracted by church foolishness. Church gonna always have foolishness. Every church got fools. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't get distracted by fanaticism.
Well,
you know, folk who just claim they love the Lord and play the part, because we read that in Christian Academy this morning. The Lord knows everybody who act religious ain't religious. Because we don't really get saved by religion. We get saved by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Don't take no detour. Don't let nobody come along and tell you, I know a shortcut.
Well,
I know a way. No, I'm gonna stay with this right here. This here work for me. You gotta learn how to stop being so dysfunctional. The body of Christ operates in holiness.
Yes, it does.
And in order to operate in holiness, you got to hear and heed to holiness.
Yes, sir.
That's why the word is so critical.
Yeah.
In the life of the believer. Some of y'all going to walk out here today, and you ain't going to open your Bible again till you come back.
Well.
That ain't heeding holiness. Amen. Some of you going to turn your little smartphone off, and you'll be texting and downloading all week long and won't open your Bible app one more time. That little quote, you put it in your phone, and you forgot that you signed up for the verse of the day. And when the verse of the day pop up, you ain't going to read it. You're just going to slide. Come on, talk to me.
Come on, Pastor.
But God is saying, are you with me?
Yeah.
My sheep hear my voice.
Yeah.
My sheep, they started with me. Stay on the path.
Yes, sir.
Don't turn around. Grandma used to tell us, Louise, make a beeline. Get in a hurry. That's what I want to tell you. I'm done. I'm going to let you go. It's 8 minutes after. That's pretty good. That ain't all bad. Y'all didn't leave me but 10 minutes. That's all they gave me. Sister Pennell, Susan, and Peanut Butter Mountain and all that. That's all I had left. So I let you go. You know, the Christians came by today. We can't let them think we stay alone. They go there and tell on us at Scott's time, man. Them people at Brookville, they don't know when to go home. Well, we know when. We just take our time getting to that decision. I want to tell you something. Last thing I want to tell you. This is critical for your life. We read a statement here the other day that says we're going to have to reevaluate our commitment to follow Christ. And that's kind of what led me to go ahead and do part two, because if you don't know why to follow, you're probably going to struggle with who to follow. Remember now, I asked you, if you think the end game is just so you can go to heaven, That ain't why you follow Christ. We follow Christ so that we can do what he told us to do.
Come on now.
That's make disciples. We follow Christ to make disciples. Then we'll get heaven. That'll be worked out in the end. But I'm a Christian
because
I follow Christ. Amen. And in light of that, maybe we ought to really be honest with ourselves and see for ourselves who we following. Maybe you'll just kind of skip somebody and get to the front of the line and see who's leading. So you'll know who you're following.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let me show you the example. Ever been in traffic and everything just came to a stop? What's the first question you ask? What's going on up there? Because you know what's happening right here.
That's right. That's right.
But you're wondering, why are we stopping? You be cranking your head out. And here's what happened. Have you ever creep, creep, stop, and finally it breaks loose? And what do you say?
What was going on?
I don't see nothing. Wonder why we were stopping. You don't know what was happening up there, do you? Well, I'm telling you now, maybe you ought to find out.
Come on now.
What's happening up there?
Yes, sir.
So you don't waste all that time back here. Because when you get up there and you're in the wrong place,
yes, sir,
it's going to be too late. I think I want to know what's going on up there. So I'm going to find out who I'm following.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to stay on the path. I'm not going to get distracted. Some of y'all are so distracted by anything and everything. You can't keep taking detours. Can't keep church hopping and running all over the place. You got to get where you can figure out what's going on with this.
Come on now.
And you got to make sure that you are dedicated to that. You made your devotion. You made your determination. And the thing that is so wonderful in Christ is he'll help you with all of it.
Yes,
the Lord is a very present help.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Let's stand on our feet. One decision today and one decision only. Will you decide to follow Christ? Don't let your faith keep faltering. Don't keep following after foolishness. Don't get led astray. Solomon told you, he said, there's a way that seemed right. How many ever had that happen to you? You thought you were doing the right thing? And later on discovered, you know what? I should have known better. God is calling the church to make a decision. I want to tell you something right now. When I put all of these things together, it made me think, what is happening to us? How could we have forgotten so simple a commission to make disciples? We try to have step teams, mind. We came with all kinds of stuff thinking that's going to bring folk to the church. We forgot. Lift up Christ. If I be lifted up, I'll draw. We programmed ourselves right out of holiness, trying to be nouveau. Come up with, let's just follow Christ. And when we follow Christ, we won't get lost. We won't lose nothing. There's a way that seems right.
Yes, sir.
But you have to reevaluate your place in Christ, your commitment. Get on the path. Follow him. Stay right there. If you're in this room today and you've not really thought about it, like you ought to think about it, if you've not really made Jesus your choice, if you've been kind of wandering around, you've been a little bit loosey-goosey with the thing, I'm telling you today, you have an opportunity while you still yet have blood running warm in your veins and you can breathe and lift up your mind to make an elevated decision to follow Christ. I'm not asking you about joining this church. I am asking you to please give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, then we'll talk about church discipleship. That's a process. It's just like holiness. It's just like the regeneration works. It's a process. That's why we don't need to have folk that come in today and then put them in charge of nothing tomorrow.
Come on now.
It's a process. But the first order of business is, whom do you belong to? I know in whom I have believed and I know where my faith lies. Will you give your life to Christ? That's the question today. Will you give your life to Christ? No carrots, no candy, no apple. Just a decision that has to be made by you. You don't have to look to the left nor to the right. but internalize, will I follow Christ forever? Again, once you make the choice, don't change. So if you're in this room today, you've not given your life to Christ, the doors are open, have been a while. But if you're in this room and you've given your life to Christ and you're looking now to grow in discipleship life, again, not a life that is merely about being in the church, but a life that is about following Christ, we offer you discipleship in this ministry. You can come and grow with us, go with us, know with us. There is a way that is right, and we follow in his footsteps. Would you come today for discipleship? There is an opportunity for us to come into a ministry where we can exercise our gifts, and God will use us. We bring something very special into every house. You're looking for that church home where you can use what God has given you as a gift. We open our hearts to you, and our hearts will meet together as one. That the name of our God be lifted, the name of our God be magnified. Church home is special, just like your home is special. Deaconess Dorothy said there's no place like it. She wanted to go back so bad. We all know it was all a dream, but we like the story. Good witch Glenda looks at her and said, baby, you could have been there all the time. Don't nobody want to live their whole life in odds when they can be home.
Yes.
Church home is special. There are familiar faces there. There are things I like to do there. That's why our gifts are given to us, to build up the church. It's all right to go out and come back, but I want to get back to home. You need a church home, and our doors and our hearts are open to you. And we can be a part of your home. If everybody's feeling some kind of way about it today, and you feel strong in it, you're thinking, well, I believe I got it about right, I'll encourage you to be sure. But our prayers are with you today that if you have not lived in the truth of it, that you don't die in your throne. The Lord don't close your eyes permanently. And you didn't have this right. God, we thank you so much today for this people, this gathering, for the listening ear and the stirred heart. We thank you, God, today for those who know they're on the path. But we also, Lord, pray with all prayers for those who are unsure, didn't know what to do today, didn't know how to walk out there without being ashamed or having the concern that people would talk about us. Lord, let them live another day that they can make a good decision. And let them know that it's just a phone call or a visit by the office. They can give their life to Christ. Maybe we're concerned about crowds and we need to be in a private place. We open up that invitation even now to make that phone call, to send the text, the email, and say, man or woman of God, I need Christ. I was a little shy the other day, but I really had some time to think about it, and I want what you're talking about for me and my family, my sons and my daughters. I want my mama to be saved, my grandmother to be saved. Man of God, I didn't want to come out in front of them, but I'll come to you. Would you introduce me to the Christ? And that we will. And for we yet who are standing and we are somewhat sure, all the more encouragement to keep keeping on, to keep our hand in the winding chain, to hold on just a little while longer. deliver us from evil. Lord, there are sick among us. There are those who are recovering, and there are those who are in the throes of their deliverance. The darkness has not yet ceased. The winds have not stopped blowing. The chill is not gone. And so we need you, God, in a big way to comfort and keep us throughout the watches. Some of us are still in the regimen of our medication. We've got half a bottle to go. We've got two more sessions to go. And so we're going to need you, Lord, in a big way. And when we get our test results, when we get our blood work done, we're going to need you in a big way. By your stripes, we are healed. We've seen you do it before. We know you can do it again. And then, Lord, forgive us for our sins and have mercy upon us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Give us traveling mercies. We got places to go, places we're expected to be. Getting very close to children going back to school. The teachers have already returned. The administrators, they're getting ready for our children, for our sons and our daughters. And so, God, we're praying over every school building, praying over the administrative headquarters. This city in particular needs a new superintendent. We're praying, God, that your will be done. We thank you for Dr. Yes, Massey, Lord, filling in, but Lord, we know that we need a good leader.
Yes, Lord.
That loves our children and will be fair and execution of judgment and pain and penalty. We need one who's going to lead us in higher education. And so bless our teachers. Bless, Lord, the custodian, the bus driver, the crossing guard.
Yes, Lord.
Cafeteria worker.
Yeah, Lord.
Bless the counselors and the principal and vice principal. Bless, God, that these folk love their job and love our children. Lord, when they rise up in the morning and stand on those bus stops, the darkness has yet been relieved. They pray that drivers will pay attention. Look out for our babies. Lord, when they get on that school bus, let the driver be the best driver. Take them to and fro. And God, we pray that they will grow up and bring glory to your name. Hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our guests today, and thank you for their willingness to share with us. And we pray, God, much blessing on their lives when they go back to where they have come from. And they will tell the people that I met another people that are on the same road that we are. There are witnesses yet to the kingdom of our God. Now, God, we pray that you turn us now from this place but never your presence until we're able to come together again. Praise your holy name. Children of God said amen, amen, and amen. Shake somebody's hand, hug them, bless them real good. Tell them, man, it sure is good to see you. We'll look for you again at another time. God bless you. Go in peace. Don't forget, backpack.